हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 153, Chapter 29, Bhakti Yoga. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 29th chapter, Krishna explains how one attains bhakti by taking shelter of great devotees, and how one can attain liberation by realizing Atma. Sardar Tadarshini 1129.1. Thinking that the previously described spiritual practice based on detachment is too difficult, Uddhava inquired about an easier method, right? Because the detachment, that's the essential point of the jnana. By knowledge, you're trying to break down attachments with the material world.
Yes.
Right? So it's used along with karma, as Krishna explains in Gita. Mm-hmm. Right? You're performing activities for Krishna with this knowledge.
Yes.
So he just sets up the mic and then leaves.
And he sits out there with a laptop and does something.
He does
essays
for the president.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so he's got that for reference.
Okay, then he can hear that. In reply, Lord Sri Krishna gave brief instructions on devotional service. The fruit of workers and mystic yogis were bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and puffed up by their false identifications, refused to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But the swan-like men, those who know how to discriminate between the essential and non-essential, always take shelter at the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord himself, within the living entity as the Chaita Guru, and without the spiritual mass, and without as the spiritual master teaches by example, not without the spiritual master. Yeah. So within and without. Yes, okay. So within he does it without that guy. Yeah. Okay. Eradicates all the misfortune of the spirit soul and reveals his own personal form. One should execute all duties for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, keeping one's mind absorbed in him. One should take advantage of the sacred abodes of the Lord, where his devotees reside, and one should serve the Lord and celebrate the festivals and holidays in his honor. By understanding all living beings to be Lord Krishna's place of residence, one can attain the ability to see equally everywhere. And thus, all faulty qualities of envy, false ego, and so on will be removed. Bearing this in mind, the devotee should give up his proud relatives, his separatist outlook, and his mundane embarrassment, and should offer obeisances flat on the ground to all, even the dogs and outcasts. As long as one has not learned to see the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all creatures, he must continue to use this body, his body, mind, and speech to worship the Supreme Lord in that manner of offering full obeisances to all. Because this eternal process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord is transcendental and has been established by the Lord himself, it can never, to the slightest extent, be defeated or prove fruitless. When one offers himself completely to the Supreme Lord with exclusive devotion, the Lord becomes particularly pleased, and thus the devotee achieves immortality, becoming qualified to attain opulence equal to that of the Lord. After receiving these instructions, Sri Uddhava went to Bhadarik Ashrama in pursuance of Lord Krishna's order. By perfectly carrying out the instructions of the Supreme Lord, he attained the Lord's transcendental abode. By faithfully serving these instructions spoken by the Personality of Godhead to Uddhava, the greatest of devotees, the entire world can become liberated. Shlokanasharanam, summary of verses 1 to 22, the process of bhakti yoga, 23 to 34, the result of bhakti yoga, 35 to 49, the Lord instructs Uddhava to retire to Bhadri Gashram. Verses 1 to 34, the process of bhakti yoga. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Lord Achyuta, I fear that the method of yoga prescribed by you is very difficult for one who cannot control his mind. Therefore, please explain to me in simple terms how someone can more easily execute it." Well, Lotus-eyed Lord, generally those yogis who try to steady the mind experience frustration because of their inability to perfect the state of trance. Thus, they weary in their attempt to bring the mind under control. Footnote 60. In this regard, Arjuna said in the Bhagavad Gita, "For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind." Bhagavad Gita 6:34, right? So this is that after the instructions on dhyana yoga.
Yes.
Right? See, because the devotees, because they're absorbed in Krishna, they naturally are meditating on the Lord. But to try to mechanically meditate and perform those activities becomes very difficult. "Therefore, O swan-eyed Lord of the universe, swan-like men happily take shelter of your lotus feet, the source of all transcendental ecstasy. But those who take pride in their accomplishments in yoga and karma fail to take shelter of you and are defeated by your illusory energy." Right, so that means those who are intelligent take shelter of the Lord, but those who are proud of their accomplishments within the yoga system, right? Because it's difficult. So their intellectual abilities, their other skills, their knowledge, or, you know, all these things, they become proud of it, then they won't find Krishna. Right? That's why Krishna brings up this point of the attitude is so important. "My dear infallible Lord, it is not very astonishing that you intimately approach your servants who have taken exclusive shelter of you. After all, during your appearance as Lord Ramachandra, even while great demigods like Brahma were vying to place the effulgent tips of their helmets upon the cushion where your lotus feet rested, you displayed special affection for monkeys, such as Hanuman, because they had taken exclusive shelter of you." Right? So these great demigods are trying to come close enough to offer their respects to Krishna. But he says just the tips of their helmets then touching the cushion that he keeps his feet on, not even his feet himself. But he's very kind to these monkeys, right? Because they've taken shelter. Physically we may not go back, but spiritually then we could have that connection to the monkeys.
Yes.
"Who then could dare reject you, the very soul, the most dear object of worship, and the supreme Lord of all? You who give all possible perfections to the devotees, who take shelter of you, who could be so ungrateful, knowing the benefits you bestow? Who would reject you and accept something for the sake of material enjoyment, which simply leads to forgetfulness of you? And what lack is there for us who are engaged in service, in the service of the dust of your lotus feet?" Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur writes, "Krishna taught Uddhava powerful jnana, but Uddhava could not understand it. This he expresses in 5 verses. Practice of yoga by persons who are devoid of identity with the body has been explained, but I think this is difficult for others to practice because you have to have that you have to give up the identity with the body for it to be very effective. At least if you can do that, then it's quite effective. It's quite a powerful tool to use in Krishna's service. But if there's that material identity, then that's where the devotional service itself directly then will be more viable. Right? And so that's the main thing anyway for us is devotional service. Then depending upon one's position, one uses the aspects of jnana or not. But in any case, if one engages the senses in Krishna's service, then knowledge and detachment come anyway. And then with time, that becomes a natural activity. Not that one's trying to get to that, it just comes automatically along with it. Devotion is what one's trying to get to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So, in other words, what's getting away of devotion? Attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the path of jnana is for removing that attachment. So in that way it becomes useful.
Mm-hmm.
But bhakti itself can also remove the attachment because it's actually the source of karma and jnana. So it's not that it, so if that devotion is there, automatically you're not doing things for yourself, you're doing things for Krishna, so one is detached.
But can we just say you take the attachment and attach that to Krishna?
Yes.
So then it's a,
yes, so it's much, so much easier,
right,
than trying to negate the attachment,
yeah, exactly,
by the detachment.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. It's
yeah,
difficult.
Yeah.
The knowledge should be known,
mm-hmm,
because there will be moments when you're using it. But it's not that that's the exclusive position that you're practicing.
Yeah, it's just the,
you know what I'm saying? The very advanced living, they're already doing this. So the Uttamadikaris are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And the great sages in that, they're doing this. But for everybody else, then means devotional service is more practical.
Yes.
Though, it's the advanced devotees, it's devotional, yeah, service, but for them, they don't identify with the body, so these things are very easy for them. They're just natural for them.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, Acharyas, they mentioned that the object of our meditation and worship actually reciprocating constantly with us as a person. So that makes that process, you know, different. It's not that difficult because you feel reciprocation.
Right.
When the, you know, ascending process is very difficult because it's all on you, basically.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. But I... okay. Quickly tell me how one can quickly attain perfection. Okay, but I think this is difficult for others to practice. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You are the most beloved among all jivas, since you appear as Narada and other jivas to teach bhakti. You are the Lord, since you give the results of karma to everyone. You give all purusharthas to those who surrender to you. What person knows the mercy you showed Bali, Prahlad, and others would give you up? No one would. Only an ungrateful person. Some low type of yogi who does not appreciate rasa would do so. And if a person worships you, would he worship you with the desire for material enjoyment or liberation? Who would worship you for liberation or for a kingdom, which is a way of forgetting you? No one would. No one would worship with these intentions. Then, okay. But why do we see Prahlad and other devotees who have no material desires attaining material assets and liberation? End quote. Nothing is lacking for the devotee, as stated in the Narayaniya of the Moksha Dharma in Mahabharata. Quote, whatever among the four goals of human life can be achieved by various spiritual practices is automatically achieved without such endeavors. Is automatically achieved without such endeavors by the person who has taken shelter of Narayana. Material enjoyment and liberation are the secondary results of bhakti, not desired by the devotee, but these are given by you to them anyway. So they're performing their service, they're not desiring them, they get these. If you desire them, then you may or may not get them. Because the whole point is about Krishna and relationship with him. So these facilities come that you can serve Krishna, then it works. Sri Uddhava continued. Oh my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma. For you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, those with discrimination can never become debtless in their worship, even if they worship you for a lifespan of Brahma, because on remembering what you have done, their bliss increases. Right? So these, you can never pay back what one has gained from Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? Like that.
devotees asked Prabhupada, how can we ever repay you? And Prabhupada said, not possible.
Not possible, yeah. It's just because one's in the material world and you're given the spiritual world. Yeah, so right. Then how do you do that? You know, it's like, you know, you have, you know, one grain of dust, you know, regular old ordinary dust, and so in, and then there's a diamond. How do you compare them? You know, it's like, even not even that, like a wheelbarrow full of diamonds, right? What have you done? You appear externally as the mantra guru and siksha guru, by whom one receives your mantra and instructions on bhakti, and you appear internally as Paramatma. Didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. I give intelligence by which the devotees come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Inspiring them with intelligence to attain you and making them worship you, you reveal to them the goal of becoming an associate with prema. But because one is serving, but then it's, we hear about it, but then Krishna will reveal it. It becomes something that you feel is that's something that's part of, means your interest, something that's attainable. We talked about, you know, that because we work within the material time frame, that we're here and that's very far away. But the whole point is that Krishna reveals, then one can see it's not far away. It's just a matter of the attitude. You just, that surrender, and it's there. Yes, yes. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus questioned by the most affectionate Uddhava, Krishna, the supreme controller of all controllers, who utilizes the universe for his pastimes and assumes three forms by his energies, began to reply, displaying his attractive smile filled with love.
This is the end of Uddhava Gita?
This is the last chapter of Uddhava Gita.
Does it have a similar structure as Bhagavad Gita, like some Banda version of Uddhava Gita?
That, I'm not sure. I mean, you have bhakti here.
Because it seems like there's some Abhideya going on in these last chapters, right?
Well, it's been all the way through.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that it has a lot on the jnana and the detachment part. Because the attachment is what is entangling us. You know, the difficulties we have in performing our devotional service because of the attachment. So that's brought out. So if one appreciates that, it makes it look better. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the Lord appears in three forms, as Antaryami by his internal energy, as the Jiva by Tathastha Shakti, and as the material body by the external energy. The Lord uses the world for performing his pastimes. Jagat Kridanakaha. By his form as Antaryami, he inspired Uddhava to ask these questions to give bliss to the future devotees of Kali Yuga. The Lord's pastimes or playing are for spreading bhakti rasa to the devotee. The Lord assumed three other forms. As Uddhava, he asks questions. As Krishna, he gives answers. As the devotees, Sukadeva and Parikshit, limited to a particular time and space, he supplied sweetness in the form of their questions and answers. Such skill in giving mercy is not possible of anyone else. He is the Lord of all lords. He had an attractive smile displaying prema. And so there's no way you can pay this back. It's something one will eternally do. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, yes, I shall describe to you the principles of devotion to me, by executing which a mortal being, mortal human being, will conquer unconquerable death. Always remembering me, one should perform all his duties for me without becoming impetuous. With mind and intelligence offered to me, one should fix his mind in attraction to my devotional service. So then this is that essential point. This is what we know. We think that there's something more. So the technical points are given that are more. And having asked all these technical points, then Uddhava says, okay, can you make it simple? And then he goes back to explaining what he's already been explaining. Right? Does that make sense? So we think that there's something more because we have this idea that greater knowledge and greater technique is actually advancement. But it's actually surrender to Krishna, mm-hmm. remembering Krishna. That's advancement. Yes. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The Lord now describes both pure and mixed bhakti by uttering words with two meanings. One should perform all material actions such as brushing the teeth and all spiritual actions such as hearing and chanting for me. This is the first meaning. One should perform all varnashram actions for me. This is the second meaning. His consciousness should be fixed in persons whose minds are dedicated to me. Mayarpita manas chitaha. This means he is attached to my devotees. His mind is attracted to bhakti. Right? So you have all these meanings. Because if in one thing you can get many things done, why wouldn't you? Right? So then Krishna, in these explanations, will get all these variety of things done. So that's why sometimes we think, well, does it mean this or does it mean that? It means both. Right? That's the point. If it's supported by the scriptures and the acharyas, that's because it's meaning both. We'll get confused because we think it has to be the external things limited by time and space. Right? But it's not about that. It's about the mood of surrender to Krishna. That's then what one's trying to do. And with that, then you're going to offer your activities. Mother Jashoda dedicates all her activities to Krishna. She's on the transcendental platform. Right? Then you have those that have mixed devotional service, those within varnashram, all these different things on which these activities are being performed. Does that make sense? Mother Jashoda does these things because they please Krishna. Right? But in the material world, we may be doing them because it's varnashram. Right? No, you should do this because, you know, that's what a brahmachari should do, or this is what a grihastha should do, rather than it pleases Krishna. So it's pious, it's good. But it's a mode of goodness, but you have to come to pure goodness. Right? That's the principle. So, like I mentioned, that one, Grihastha was upset that he had gone to a restaurant for lunch, but it was being given to him for free. His point is, a Grihastha, no, I have to pay. It's my dharma. And so then, you know, because he wasn't identifying himself as a brahmana, where I could receive charity, he was a businessman. Right? So then for him, then it's improper that he receives charity. Right? Because that's the dharma. But the point is Krishna's made it like that. It wasn't so much about Krishna as about just the dharma.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the point is, but they're devotees, so it's all connected to Krishna. But it'll have that more prominence. While Mother Jashoda, they're doing the activities of the Vaishyas, right? Same thing, but it's all about Krishna.
Yeah.
And they use those forms. While the others, the forms are used, and then it's offered to Krishna. Right?
It's the same with the Odan Shasti, that they give the chatter to Krishna, and the starch is still in the chatter. And then he's complaining that you shouldn't give because the starch is impure. But Krishna comes to him in a dream and blasts him, because why would the chatter be on the deity if I didn't approve of it? So they're saying, it's impious to give the deity the chatter, not realizing that the deity already accepted the chatter.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. His point. Why is he wearing it?
Yeah. Exactly. He shouldn't give. Yeah. But yeah. He is wearing it. That's the point.
Yeah. Because you're looking at the stars, but then for Krishna, then it's some fun.
If the deity is non-different from Krishna, that means Krishna has accepted it. Otherwise,
yes.
He wouldn't let it happen.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Does that make sense? It's coming from the other angle. It's coming from Krishna's side rather than from our activities and karma and varnashram and attachments and all these different things. Because all that connected to Krishna is devotional service. Right? And then there's the position of pure devotional service, where it's about leaving Krishna. Something to say.
Maharaj, now it's become more and more evident that it is the primary thing is the most important.
Yes,
it's
yes. It's
always the point.
Like, that's what he sees here. Krishna's constantly pointing at that. So when he simplifies it, but this is given after explaining all that, so you know it's just about Krishna. Now when you hear this, now you see, oh, this is elevated, but so simple. Well, before we just think it's simple. How can it be elevated?
Yes, yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's the reverse.
Yes.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The Lord now describes both pure and mixed bhakti. Oh, we just did that. Sri Krishna continued. Oh, no, here, wait a minute. This means he is attached to my devotees. His mind is attracted to bhakti. Sri Krishna continued. Sri Krishna continued, one should take shelter of holy places where my saintly devotees reside, and one should be guided by the exemplary activities of my devotees, who appear among the demigods, demons, and human beings. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In pure bhakti, the methods of Vaidhi and Raganuga are indicated by giving two interpretations. One should live in places like Dwarka. One should follow after the activities of devotees among the devatas, Narada, among the demons, Prahlad, and among the humans, Ambarish. This indicates Vaidhi Bhakti. One should live in Goloka, Vrindavan, or Govardhan, and follow after the activities of Chandrakanti, Vrinda, and the Gopis. Footnote 61. This indicates Raganuga Bhakti. Chandrakanti was the daughter of a Gandharva. Vrindavas.
Vrindavas. Its apostrophe is not word. Silence.
Vrinda
was the wife of a demon named Jalandhara in one pastime on earth. Perhaps this is the connection of Vrinda with the demons. Footnote by Banuswami. Yeah, because it had that double meaning, because it also means Vrinda in Braj, because here he's connecting with Govardhan and like that, and Goloka. While the Dwarka side, then that would be the other side. So it's not that the eternal associates in Vrindavan, they're the ones who are expanding, and you get you know, lower Goloka, you get Vaikuntha, you get the Devatas, everybody's coming from them anyway, because that's where it starts. There's not someone else.
Right.
So I would say is that in this part of it, they're talking about Vrinda and Vrindavan, not Vrinda, the wife of Jalandhara.
Yeah.
But not that it can't be related in the pastimes. You know what I'm saying? Because you have the Tulsi and Shaligram marriage, then Krishna in the Gokul pastimes will be bringing up the point that that you know, these flowers that the gopis are picking are his, and they'll say no, they belong to Vrinda, right? Vrindavan, Vrinda, and he'll say yes, they do, and therefore they're mine. They say, how does this logic work? Because she's my wife, right? And therefore, what's hers is mine. Right? Officially.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense? And then they all turn to her, is this true? You're married to this guy? You know? And then, you know, so they don't bother with the time and space aspect. Right? Beyond this time-space continuum. Yeah. Is that... Yes.
Well, some devotees honestly... sincerely think that we're following the Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti mark. Does that mean they're gonna end up in Vaikuntha and, as mentioned here, Dwarka?
Means those particular individuals or us as a group?
No, particular individuals, because not many understand that we are actually given Raganuga mark.
Yes, but the point is we're following. Vaidhi, because we don't have rag. Right? Rag is not a practice on its own, as we'll see as described you know, later, as you were saying in the Sindarvas, that the Vaidhi Bhakti is presented, and then when they get to Rag, it's being mentioned that you're doing these activities of Bhakti with the natural spontaneous attraction to Krishna. So the external is between the Vaidhi Bhakti and Rag Bhakti are the same. They're not a different path, because it's all within sadhana bhakti, because it's made out as there's sadhana bhakti, then there's this Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, then bhavsa like that, but it isn't. There's sadhana bhakti. Within it, you follow all the activities, and then when that's spontaneous, that's called rag.
Yeah.
Where there's ideas, no, it has to be different. But that's because we're looking at these secondary elements rather than the primary. Like that. So this is from the smoke, or you're just...
From the smoke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because sometimes you're sitting there and he doesn't like what I'm saying. Huh? Oh, okay.
Sometimes I have to turn my head over there.
Yeah, it's like yeah.
Sometimes he's just pretending to be Robert De Niro.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it's interesting, sometimes devotees are talking that we're devotees, we don't follow these, we don't have to follow these... When actually those who are so advanced that they don't have to follow would never say something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
The
thing is that when they say we don't have to follow, what does that, what does yeah. we what, mean?
Yeah.
And what does follow mean?
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, what do they mean by that? Yeah. When they say you don't need to follow the rules, means the rules aren't the reason you're doing it. You're going to Mangal Artik not because of the rules, so that means you're not following the rules.
Yeah.
You're going because you want to. Like that's
it.
Called rag. But they're taking, no, I don't have to follow the rules. It means I can do whatever I feel like.
Right.
That's also wrong, but it's called material.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. So there's the difference between ignorance and pure, you know, pure goodness.
Yeah.
Is that we're thinking that spontaneous means whimsical. But it just means, spontaneous means it's just, there's no intellectual consideration in the opportunity to perform the service and doing service. Like kirtan is there, you don't think, well, I got this and that, I got a few rounds to do, and then I got to make this call, so can I work it in and like that? Okay, we do like this, and yeah, okay, and it's this one leading kirtan, I really like that, and like this is that. So yeah, so I can go for it, like say this much time, and you know. That's Vaidhi. But rag is, there's a kirtan, you want to take part. That's why it's difficult, because it's an attitude. Bhakti is an attitude, but it has a natural form.
And it looks the same.
Yeah, because if you go into the kitchen and take the pot and go like this, you know what I'm saying? Does that mean you're cooking? No, but you're doing activities of that. And how many people can do like that, right? You see all the big chefs, they all do that. So you're in there, you can do that, you think you're the big chef. Right? But, you know, there's nothing in the pan. You know, it's not even on fire, right? You know, it's like, or maybe you could do that, you know, put something, light it on fire, and then go like this, and, you know, it's all, you know, from out the window, people that, wow, you know, like that, but, yeah.
Fired up, so to speak.
Yeah, but in actuality, nothing's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of, see, practicing Vaidhi up to the liberated platform is not a problem. Because we're given the Vaidhi sadhana. Who's given us Vaidhi bhakti?
Rupa Goswami.
And who did Rupa Goswami get it from?
God.
Lord Chaitanya. So it's not a bad thing. But the point is that once one becomes liberated, at this point one's not bound by those rules that are necessary to purify you of material contamination. Then one is trying to learn to perform those activities because of attraction to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difference. You get a glimpse of that when the gopis arrive for the night of the rasa dance, and there they mention how in their homes, then they see their husbands, their children, all connected to Krishna, because that aspect that makes that relationship is Krishna. So in this way, they're able to maintain themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Otherwise, if they thought they were just in a house with all these people, they wouldn't be able to survive. But because they see all this Krishna. But it's Krishna, but it's Krishna the person, through his energies is all these. Therefore, there's a difference. So they won't deal with them like Krishna. They'll follow the rules, but they'll remember Krishna the person. Is that?
Yeah.
And so, up to liberation, if one follows Vaidhi, then having come to the platform of liberation, then rag will start. Anyway. Because rag only comes naturally after anartha nivriti.
Yeah.
Right? So unless one is, you know, so the full form of anartha nivriti is liberation.
Yeah.
Right? So when you come to the uttama platform. Because then you don't have the material body, you don't have all these things. So that's, you could say, anartha nivriti. Right? Now it's a matter of becoming stable in devotional service. So that you come to the point of exclusively being focused on Krishna. Right?
Yeah.
Then you can say now you're steady. Right? Then, does that make sense? So then, but otherwise, if somehow or another that aspects of spontaneity start earlier in the Madhyama platform, then it's not a problem. So basically from Ruchi you could see it, from Nishta, because it's beyond Anartha Nivriti. But because it's at the lower stage of Anartha Nivriti, it won't be as complete as at the higher stage of Anartha Nivriti. Does that make sense? But this thing is that the neophyte's going to, you know, be out there rolling on the ground and doing all that stuff. That's not generally much of a reality like that. Because they're neophyte because of the material distractions. Madhyama means they're stable in devotional service. So if they're stable, then they're not a neophyte. Does that make sense? But if they're not stable, then how will they be on the platform of spontaneity? You know, unless, of course, it's that bucket of halava, and then definitely there is no intellectual interference in that process. That means it comes up a bit the next morning.
Yes. But only briefly.
Only briefly, yeah. True, it is. There's that great determination, but it's only brief. Yeah, you say, well, I shouldn't eat so much, you know, this, that, and everything. Yeah, yeah, but that's it.
But then there's the breakfast time.
It doesn't come up again,
no.
Right? Yes.
The difficulty seems to be because we promised Goloka in Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Then devotees don't think much about how they practice Krishna consciousness. Most everybody think we're going to end up in Goloka. Whatever we do is just...
Yeah, so as long as they remember Krishna, then they'll end up there. But you go through Gokul to get there. Right? It's the same place. It's just that place, Goloka, that's open to those that aren't on the platform of prema. You know, it's like a boot camp or something. You know. Dust of the Lotus Feet Camp or something. Yeah. So it's not that they'll go to Vaikuntha if they have an affinity towards the Lord of Vaikuntha, but following Vaidhi doesn't put you in Vaikuntha. Right? It's following that's the intention, is majesty. But if the intention is that in sweetness, even you're following the Vaidhi, it's going towards there. But this idea, oh, it's Vaidhi, it'll be Vaikuntha, and only rag is there, so we got to practice rag. But you can't practice rag.
That's the Sahaja.
Hmm?
That becomes Sahaja.
Yeah, Sahaja. It's just that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maharaj, in Srila Prabhupada's presentation, though rules of Vaidhi are given, as I said, but the intention, Prabhupada always makes it clear how we do the preeti.
Yes.
Because when we say about Aishwarya, three aspects which Jiva Goswami mentioned is there is fear, there is reverence, and there is one more thing which I forgot. Three are more prominent, but when we see in Prabhupada's presentation, these are never brought up. It's
yes.
always about
direct serving to Krishna and then...
Yeah, it's always about Goloka. It's always about... Because all they know about, they don't even really know about Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't have to worry that's where they're going to go. You know, if they want to go there, then they can. It'll be probably easier and quicker than going through the other processes. But inherently, then everyone's, you know, heading towards Vrindavan. So, yeah.
So in Kukul, you would have the signs in Bhakti Macht Frei, like the boot camp.
Bhakti Macht Frei.
Bhakti Macht Frei, you know, like the Germans had Arbeit Macht Frei in their in Auschwitz. If they had this work makes you free.
Is that what it says? I thought it was a different word.
Work will set you free. It's across the entrance to.
Oh, okay.
To
karma yoga.
Yeah.
Karma
yoga.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
karma yoga.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really fast.
Very quick.
They were
very
liberated
quick.
Very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. Yeah. Very quickly. Except Camp 3. Yeah. Camp 3 was a little slow.
Yes.
This indicates rag bhakti, right? So you have both there. It indicates that, but it's we're following the vaidhi because we're not on rag. It's just like, let's say you have someone's father is, you know, the regular participant and winner of the what do you call it? You know, that bike marathon in France.
Tour de France.
Yes.
Cycling.
Yes, the cycling. So now his 3-year-old is starting to learn to ride bicycle. Will there be training wheels? You understand? Yeah. So, but is that where he's going to end up being big and he'll be in the Tour de France with training wheels and all that and, you know, like that. And all the other guys, that's how he wins, because when he goes by the others, then they see it and they laugh so hard they fall off the bike, and that way he gets an advantage and gets ahead. Right? Well, so the whole point is everybody starts with Vaidhi. Because without starting with Vaidhi, how do you get to Rag? Because Rag means you have a taste for doing that service, so unless you do it, how do you get the taste? Now, if spontaneous, immediately on hearing about it, you develop that taste for Krishna and Braj, great. But if you haven't, then there's Vaidhi. You know, that's how Krishna mentions it in the Gita. Like that. If you can, just the gopis heard and immediately they're absorbed, then that's fine. Or Maharaj Katvanga, that's fine. But if not, then, you know, it may take you a little longer than a moment. You know, that's like that.
Whole material life is basically a moment. You just don't see
Okay, you're looking at it like that. Okay. You only need a moment. This life is like a moment, so therefore one lifetime.
A couple of years ago, I met with my grandfather, 94 years old. He was passing away. And he was saying that, you know, that was a moment. I was a teenager the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like what happened? Yeah. It's like that. I mean, anytime you just think back over your life, it's... So that's the point, is we're in for the living entity to function in the present. So it's this unnatural, this thing where there's past and future.
Mm-hmm. No, so the soul is by nature 13 years old, or like...
16.
So this whole idea of all these times...
Yeah, well, that's natural. Why once you get to that age, they don't think more than that. The body goes more, you get more experience where you get more pessimistic and all that and more grumpy. But the how you think is not any different. So, yeah. Krishna continued, either alone or in public gatherings, with singing, dancing, and other exhibitions of royal opulence, one should arrange to celebrate those holidays, ceremonies, and festivals set aside especially for my worship. With a pure heart, one should see me, the Supreme Soul, within all beings, and also within oneself, to be both unblemished by anything material, and also present everywhere, both externally and internally, just like the omnipresent sky. O brilliant Uddhava, one who thus views all living entities with the idea that I am present within each of them, and who, by taking shelter of this divine knowledge, offers due respect to everyone, is considered actually wise. So you see that essential point still remains. Just he's putting in the context of the festivals and all that go along with the worship of the Lord. Such a man sees equally the Brahmin and the outcast, the thief and the charitable promoter of Brahminical culture, the sun and the tiny sparks of fire, the gentle and the cruel. 62. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in Gita, the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. Bhagavad Gita 5:18. For him who constantly meditates upon my presence within all persons, the bad tendencies of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness, along with false ego, are very quickly destroyed. Disregarding the ridicule of one's companions, one should give up the bodily conception and its accompanying embarrassments. Because right, bodily conception is always something embarrassing that goes with it.
Yes. You know. So Maharaj, it seems that in order to give up this embarrassment, we have to tolerate ridicule. So.
Yes. Yeah. Especially the companions. They know you the most, so they can make the most comments, right?
We just stick it to you.
Yeah. One should offer obeisances before all, even the dogs, outcasts, cows, and asses, falling flat upon the ground like a rod. Until one has fully developed the ability to see me within all living beings, one must continue to worship me by this process with the activities of his speech, mind, and body. So therefore, you're taking part in the devotional activities, but you're seeing all living entities connected with the deity, with the Lord. The Lord is everywhere. Everybody is part and parcel of the Lord. And seeing that equalness, that's then the point. That's the essential point to gain. So we see, as Kapila Muni mentions, if you don't do this, the deity worship's not complete. If you just think it's between you and him, it's not going to go as well as if you understand all living entities are connected.
Maharaj, can you say that Krishna is summarizing the entire Bhagavad Gita over here, Uddham Gita over here?
Yes, why not? Yes. I mean, it's just like he sent all the points, Sarva Dharma, Paritya, Jan, Man Mana, Bhava Mad Bhakto. Those summarize. So it's not, Krishna does it all the time. The Gita, you have the Chatur Shloki, the Tri Shloki. Mm-hmm. Then they're summarizing the whole Gita. Like that. Because the basic point is surrender unto him and always remember him. I said, always remember him, never forget him. And, you know, that's very bold. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, how long should one offer respects in this manner? As long as seeing me everywhere does not arise naturally. One should offer respects on the ground to all beings by the voice, saying, Paramatmane Namaha, as well as by the mind and actions of the body. Okay, so he's offering obeisances to Krishna everywhere. When he sees him everywhere, then he's always in that state. But if not, then you're practicing seeing him everywhere. Sri Krishna continued, by such transcendental knowledge of the all-pervading personality of Godhead, one is able to see the absolute truth everywhere. Freed thus from all doubts, one gives up fruitive activities. Because if it's all Krishna, then whatever you're doing is connected to Krishna. Therefore, everything should be done as an offering to Krishna. So where's the fruitive activity? That's how it goes. Because we see a difference, then we see something can be enjoyed separately. When we see it's Krishna, then it's to be engaged in Krishna's service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, by that worship in which one sees the Lord everywhere, everything becomes Brahman for him. Then, seeing Brahman everywhere, he gives up all action. Right? So there'll be nothing done for himself. That's giving up all action. You're only doing things in connection to Krishna. So all material action is given up. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Bhagavad Gita, 1854. Yeah, so we see at the end, and he's giving the same instructions. The end of the Gita is the same instructions that are here. Sri Krishna continued. Indeed, I consider this process, using one's mind, word, and bodily functions for realizing me within all living entities, to be the best possible method of spiritual enlightenment. Right, so that humility and all those kind of things. Right, so this idea to get that, you know, material discrimination, to be able to tell all these things and become professional and all that, then that's not actually going in the same direction. Right here, it's just being able to see everybody connected to Krishna. That's actually what you're trying to get to in consciousness. In 3 verses 9 through 11, the Lord described bhakti, and in 8 verses he described jnana, 12 through 19. In the next 3 verses 20 to 22, the Lord again describes the highest essence of bhakti. Sardarta Darshani 11:28-20. Yeah, so we see even this jnana here, the talking, is just, it's practical, how to, instead of the thing of that detachment, it's just seeing all living entities connected with Krishna, that Paramatma is in everybody's heart. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued, my dear Uddhava, because I have personally established it, this process of devotional service unto me is transcendental and free from any material motivation. Certainly a devotee never suffers even the slightest loss by adopting this process. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, in following other processes, if one starts and performs the actions until the completion of the process without interruption, with all its principal and secondary parts, one will attain the result. If one does not complete the process, or interrupts it, or does not follow all the parts, then there is no result. Right? Not partial result, just no result. This is not the rule for bhakti, however. Even if one just starts and does not complete the process, or if one does not perform all the parts, angas, it is not useless. O Uddhava, if one starts bhakti yoga, madharmasya, or if one performs one anga and does not complete it, there is no destruction at all of results because of the irregularity. Since bhakti is beyond the gunas, right? Because gunas destroy things. Right? But if you're working on the eternal platform, then whatever's done is eternal. There's no modes. Modes make things temporary. No modes, no temporary. It is impossible that things beyond the gunas are destroyed. This bhakti of my nishkama devotee is established completely by me. Even a small portion of this bhakti is complete. The cause should not be asked. Bhakti is the same as my being the Supreme Lord. Madharma in this verse cannot mean jnana, since jnana is not beyond the gunas, right? Because we're dealing with the gunas according to intelligence to be able to get beyond. Right? But bhakti is already beyond. Right? So we take support of jnana, because if bhakti is pure, you don't need to. Right? As Krishna said before, when you come to the pure platform, pure bhakti, this jnana is offered to him. Because then there's no need of it anymore. Right? But if one is still influenced by the lower modes, or let's say one is having to, you know, make an endeavor to keep oneself in goodness, jnana is useful. Because then it establishes proper knowledge, so it situates you one in goodness. Right? Madharma in this verse cannot mean jnana, since jnana is not beyond the gunas. The Lord has said, kaivalyam sattvikam jnanam. Kaivalya jnana is in sattva guna. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-24. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. A little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Bhagavad Gita 2:40. Sri Krishna continued, O Uddhava, greatest of saints, in a dangerous situation, an ordinary person cries, becomes fearful, and laments. although such useless emotions do not change the situation. But activities offered to me without personal motivation, even if they are externally useless, amount to the actual process of religion. Right? So it's actually working because of the attitude is correct. Because that's the point. Bhakti is the attitude. The external is secondary to serve. We say, no, but without it being, you know, really good, how can it be offered? But then why is it described how the gopis, on hearing Krishna's flute, were so impatient that they didn't dress properly and went out? Because then that action of karma is not proper. So then one could complain, this is not a proper offering to Krishna, but Krishna is very pleased with it. Because the attitude, that enthusiasm to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, that's then what is. Right? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, if bhakti is practiced without duplicity, then without effort it gives effects at every moment. Whatever process of bhakti, such as hearing or chanting, is directed to me with no desire for material happiness, now or later in swarga, or for liberation. Right? So that means not desiring means that has to be all of that. Not now, not later, and not liberation.
Otherwise you'd flicker back and forth between them.
Yeah. You get distracted. That there's something other than Krishna. Means that it's spiritual and material. Okay. Whatever process of bhakti, such as hearing or chanting, is directed to me with no desire for material happiness now or later or in swarga or in liberation, is done without effort. Right? So it's not difficult. Mm-hmm. Difficult means the attitude. Right? Something hard to do, if the attitude's right, it's not difficult. And something very easy is difficult.
Yes.
Is that... Yeah. The results appear on their own without effort. What is the use of effort? Right? Why does one have to go for these? They'll just come on their own. The attitude is to please Krishna. The devotee finds it useless to worry about eating and shelter. How can the Lord who sustains the universe ignore the devotees? But it's all going on. So why should the devotee worry about that? He does his service, and then whatever Krishna provides, then that's where you are. It is as useless as efforts executed out of fear and lamentation. Just as, by attaining one's object, the object naturally becomes visible. By attaining me as the object of bhakti, bhakti appears on its own. Still, the sincere devotee always endeavors for bhakti. That endeavor shows his great attraction to bhakti. That endeavor, effort is thus a great quality. Right, so endeavor for bhakti, that's always there. But endeavor for these material things, then what's the point of the effort? So, you know, what will be gained?
Internal endeavor.
Internally, yes. You get the benefit of the trouble that it took to be involved. That's the one's payment.
Yeah. Yes.
Sri Krishna continued, this process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. Right? So you and Krishna here himself is saying one life. So this thing's always not possible, one life, this, that. No, Krishna says it's possible. Just like it says. What's the use of fear and lamentation? Right? You know, you just do. You try to please Krishna. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, He who can receive 1,000 coins, no, he who can receive 1,000 coins by giving 1 coin is said to be most intelligent and skillful in this world. One who attains diamonds or a gold coin in exchange for a small coin is called intelligent and skillful. A person who can take a gold coin from a sober, intelligent person is called intelligent and skillful. But one cannot say who is intelligent enough to attain a Chintamani or a Kamadhenu. The inhabitants of Bharatbhumi, who are mortal and born in low families, offer to me their bodies not worth a penny, which are deformed and afflicted with old age and disease. But they attain me, the ocean of sweetness. Accepting their offerings, I, who am supposed to be the cleverest, out of joy give myself, with my priceless ornaments, bracelets, and crown to the devotees. Right, so here it's said that if you can, by putting in only 1 coin, get 1,000 coins, or for someone who's sober to get some, you know, something out of them, then this is intelligent. But here is that they're giving something that's not worth anything, and Krishna's giving, you know, like this. So then, who's clever? Right, the devotees. Such inhabitants of Bharatbhumi are the most intelligent and most skillful. Giving one's body to the Lord means to engage the ear and other organs in hearing, chanting, remembering, and service. If the tongue is engaged in chanting, if the ears are engaged in hearing, the hands are engaged in service, then one is giving one's body to the Lord. But the Lord is attained even by offering only one part of the body. What intelligent person would not do this? Right, because you're just engaging even one part of the body and you get the Lord,
yes,
right, who is everything. So that's better than 1 coin and 1,000 coins. This verse is the touchstone among verses, the essence of all the Lord's teachings. He who has this verse shining in his heart shines in the assembly of devotees. Okay. So we read the verse again. Now that we know that, wake up here. Sri Krishna continued. This process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. So you're taking the temporary and unreal to achieve Krishna, who is the eternal reality. He's the ultimate reality. So that means you're just engaging in his service. That's the perfection. So that's what Krishna wants.
You're giving what you can't keep to attain what you can't lose.
Yes. Yes. It means that's the point. You're going to lose it anyway,
yeah,
so give it.
It's a good deal.
Yes. Verses 23 to 34, the result of Bhakti Yoga. Sri Krishna continued, thus I have related to you, both in brief and in detail, a complete survey of the science of the absolute truth. Right? Because he's given its essence and he's also given so much detail. Even for the demigods, this science is very difficult to comprehend. I have repeatedly spoken this knowledge to you with clear reasoning. Anyone who properly understands it would become free from all doubts and attain liberation. Right? Because you understand it, you become free from doubts, that then situates you nicely. That's then realization. But you have to accept it, right? Then it comes to that practice and then realization. Anyone who fixes his attention on these clear answers to your questions will attain to the eternal, confidential goal of the Vedas, the supreme absolute truth. One who liberally disseminates this knowledge among my devotees is the bestower of the absolute truth, and to him I give my very own self. He who loudly recites this supreme knowledge, which is the most lucid and purifying, becomes purified day by day. For he reveals me to others with the lamp of transcendental knowledge. Right? Because Krishna is saying, whoever gives this to the devotees, whoever is distributing this, then that's the best. You practice it, that's good, but you give it to others, that's better. Right? So that's why Jiva Goswami says, Gosi Nandi is a group of Bhajananandis, they're practicing it, who give it to others. Anyone who regularly listens to this knowledge with faith and attention, all the while engaging in my pure devotional service, will never become bound by the reactions of material work. My dear friend Uddhava, have you now completely understood this transcendental knowledge? Are the confusions and lamentation that arose in your mind now dispelled? Right? So we see is that after having said this, then Krishna, is asking also in Gita to Arjuna, same point. Śrīla Viṣṇunātha Cakravarti Thakura writes, though Uddhava is a Nityasiddha devotee beyond the gunas, in order to teach jnana and other subjects, the Lord placed him under illusion by his internal energy. He asked Uddhava as part of the pastime if his illusion has been dispelled by the teachings, right? He puts him in that. By his talking, he removes him from that. And now he asks him, so is your doubts dispelled?
Same for Arjuna.
Huh? Yes, same for Arjuna. Because otherwise, how would we hear about it? You know, and such. And now here, Uddhava is speaking. That means Arjuna doesn't know. It means he knows the culture, but he doesn't know this philosophy, at least in the presentation. So we get to know the knowledge of Gita along with Arjuna as it's being revealed to him. But then we see for this Uddhava Gita, then the knowledge of Gita is appreciated, but now it's what's the essence of that? What's the essence of the aspect of karma, of jnana,
yes.
of jnana?
Yes. Yes.
Right? So it's yeah. And then we see in Kapila Gita we get so much of the detail.
Yes,
because one knows more, one can get finer detail. But we see in Uddhava Gita, it's not about the detail, it's about the essence.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like that.
This is, the Kapila Gita is more about the jnana, and this is more about the icha. The kriya icha.
Jnana. Not necessarily, it's all Gita. But it's just that because to the Bhagavad Gita then is the fundaments, the ABCs. That's then more details added in there, and essence is brought out in Kapila Gita. So it's also complete Gita.
Mm-hmm.
And we see in Uddhava Gita, then he gets right down to what is exactly the essential point of everything. But it means you have to have already appreciated the technical points. Otherwise, then you'd want to know what are all these things. So the technical stuff isn't explained. The secondary doesn't have to be explained. It's the primary that's being explained. While in the Gita, then the primary is brought out along with the basic secondary. Then in Kapila Gita, then you have the primary being brought out with more detailed secondary. Is that? And so in here, it's just the essence of all that. Sri Krishna continued, you should not share this instruction with anyone who is hypocritical, atheistic, or dishonest. Right? Because if they doubt it, then how... They know a little bit, and they're doubting. Okay, that's bad. But now they're getting the essence, and they doubt that. Then how do you don't get much? Just as this is so glorious, then doubting it then is less glorious. You should not share ore with anyone who will not listen faithfully, who is not a devotee, or is simply not humble. This knowledge should be taught to one who is free from these bad qualities, who is dedicated to the welfare of the brahmanas, and who is kindly disposed, saintly, and pure. And if common workers and women are found to have devotion for the Supreme Lord, they are also to be accepted as qualified hearers. Right? So his point is if there's that devotion, that's the qualification. It doesn't matter the background. Just thinking, if the common workers and women, then we're thinking, they're being discriminated. But as Mlechas and Yavanas, we're below these two. We're lower than this. So then, this is good.
But we're not mentioned.
No, we're not mentioned in here.
What does that mean?
I mean here, the hypocritical, atheistic, dishonest.
Yeah.
Or, what is it, who is not humble.
Yeah.
So, we're giving an honorable mention.
We mentioned in both.
Yeah, in both, yeah.
Women?
Yeah, yeah. And common workers. And this. I mean, you can get three. Because nowadays, women can also be the common workers and have all these bad qualities also.
And so
we get everything, yeah, yeah. Yeah, hey, that's unfair, because that means you can get three mentions, we can only get two. This is unequal.
Equality.
We get 50% of the 50%.
We get 50% of the 50%. Yeah, after having your own 50%.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And
we don't even talk about those 50.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's not even about that. And this is the official.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, because 50 is divided 9 and 1. So it's 50% of 1. So
that's equal. Huh? It's very fair.
Yes, it's very fair. Yeah, it's just, one should know the definitions. Yes. Yes. When an inquisitive person comes to understand this knowledge, he has nothing further to know. After all, one who has drunk the most palatable nectar cannot remain thirsty. Through analytic knowledge, ritualistic work, mystic yoga, mundane business, and political rule, people seek to advance in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But, because you are my devotee, whatever men can accomplish in these multifarious ways, you will very easily find within me. So all that's within him. Remember, that was the definition of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you have faith that devotional service, by performing devotional service, you get the benefit of all other processes. Mm-hmm. Whatever is to be gained in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha is already included within bhakti.
Yes.
That's defined as faith.
Yes. Yes.
And with that, then that as that matures and goes on, then that's how one advances.
Mm-hmm.
A person who gives up all fruitive activities and offers himself entirely unto me, eagerly desiring to render service unto me, achieves liberation from birth and death, and is promoted to the status of sharing my own opulences. Right, so sharing. The other, you know, Vaikuntha is they go there and respect those opulences, but in Goloka they share. Right? They go out, share lunches, you know, I mean, everything, it's all shared. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Uddhava had previously asked, I have understood all philosophies and processes, but please say, what is the philosophy for your devotees? Thus Krishna answers, O dear Uddhava, in the 24th chapter, I explain sat karyavat, effects existent in the cause, effects are real. In the 28th chapter, I explained asat karyavat, the effect does not exist in the cause. That means the mundane. The devotees do not quarrel but proclaim truth and do not remain amidst these two philosophies. When a person by chance, mercy of my devotee, gives up all daily, periodic, and motivated duties. That's a nice way of putting it. Motivated duties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because you say with desire this, but that's a nice one. Mm-hmm. Daily, periodic, and motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And offers all identity of I and mine by words and mind to the guru, who is my sarup and who gives my mantra. From that moment, that mortal person desires to do different work for me, bhakti yoga, which is different from yoga and jnana. Surrender is expressed in the following. O Lord, I offer everything related to I and mine in this life and the next to your lotus feet. Padma Purana. So this life and the next. The effects of bhakti are not illusory, but real, it is not the effect of avidya. Rather, the activities done for me are beyond the gunas. Thus, the devotee is made deathless, and he becomes qualified for being my servant in my company. The word cha indicates that deathlessness is not a sought result, but that being an associate in prema is the desired goal, right? Because it's just indicated by cha. He means also. You're gaining prema, and also one becomes deathless. Verses 35 to 49. The Lord instructs Uddhava to retire to Bhadarik Ashrama. Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing these words spoken by Lord Krishna, and having thus been shown the entire path of yoga, Uddhava folded his hands to offer obeisances. But his throat choked up with love and his eyes overflowed with tears, so he could say nothing. Steadying his mind, which had become overwhelmed with love, Uddhava felt extremely grateful to Lord Krishna, the greatest hero of the Yadu dynasty. My dear King Parikit, Uddhava bowed down to touch the Lord's lotus feet with his head and then spoke with folded hands. BBT purport states, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the fear of separation from Lord Krishna was continually entering the mind of Sri Uddhava, and thus he tried to maintain his enthusiasm by remembering the Lord's great kindness upon him. He steadied his mind with feelings of gratitude towards the Lord. Sri Uddhava said, O unborn primeval Lord, although I had fallen into the great darkness of illusion, my ignorance has now been dispelled by your merciful association. Indeed, how can cold, darkness, and fear exert their power over one who has approached the brilliant sun? In return for my insignificant surrender, you have mercifully bestowed upon me, your servant, the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, what devotee of yours who has any gratitude could ever give up your lotus feet and take shelter of another master? Isn't that a known verse, that one?
Yes, there are a couple of verses like this where Krishna explains his relationship with the devotees in the same way. Do not give them up the name.
Yeah. Is that the point is? Okay.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay. The firmly binding rope of my affection for the families of the Dasarhas, Vrishnis, Andakas, and Satvatas, a rope you originally cast over me by your illusory energy for the purpose of developing your creation, is now cut off by the weapon of transcendental knowledge of the self. Obeisances unto you, O greatest of yogis. Please instruct me, who am surrendered unto you, how I may have undeviating attachment to your lotus feet. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, O great yogi, by the power of your great yoga, make me blissful by having realization of you everywhere. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, take my order and go to my ashram called Bhadarika. Purify yourself by both touching and also bathing in the holy waters there, which have emanated from my lotus feet. Rid yourself of all sinful reactions with the sight of the sacred Alakananda River. Dress yourself in bark and eat whatever is naturally available in the forest. Thus you should remain content and free from desire. Tolerant of all dualities, good-natured, self-controlled, peaceful, and endowed with transcendental knowledge and realization. With fixed attention, meditate constantly upon these instructions I have imparted to you and assimilate their essence. Fix your words and thoughts upon me, and always endeavor to increase your realization of my transcendental qualities. In this way, you will cross beyond the destinations of the three modes of nature and finally come back to me. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Uddhava is not less than me, because he is the master of Maya, and not at all lacking in any spiritual quality. He should remain on this earth, giving knowledge of me to the world. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.31. Thus, what can I accomplish myself can also be done by you. Just as I sent you to Vraja, now I desire to send you to My Amsas, Nara Narayana, and other great sages desire to see me. Previously, I have gone to Mithila on earth, to Sutala in the lower realms, and Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, and stayed in those places. Since Shutadev, Bahulasva, Bali, and the Lord of Vaikuntha wanted to see me, they became satisfied by my presence and by my bestowal of knowledge. At this time, however, I cannot go to Badri Gashrama, since my limit of 125 years for this avatar is over. If you request that I give you instructions as you are now saying, this is my instruction. In this way, Krishna thought in his mind. Then he said audibly to Uddhava, go to Badri Gashrama. O Uddhava, because of the meaning of your name, you give a festival of joy to all people. But now I have made arrangements for you, made arrangements so that you will give a very special festival to people, because I've empowered you with special knowledge about me. Reveal to Nara Narayana and others what I taught concerning bhakti and gyan, right? Because so many of the sages are there, which has special discrimination when they ask you. Be completely engaged in my qualities, such as my intelligence, wit, omniscience, and ownership of all powers. Right? Because the 64 qualities Rupa Goswami gives in the Nectar of Devotion, the devotee absorbs himself, always thinking of these. By this, I am giving you blessings in order to be qualified for assimilating all this. Make the sages there surpass the worldly condition made of the three gunas. Having carried out my instructions, you will come to me. You will come close to me, brought to me by my power of yoga. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus addressed by Lord Krishna, whose intelligence destroys all the suffering of material life. Sri Uddhava circumambulated the Lord and then fell down, placing his head upon the Lord's feet. Although Uddhava was free from the influence of all material dualities, his heart was breaking. And at this time of departure, he drenched the Lord's lotus feet with his tears. Greatly fearing separation from him, for whom he felt such indestructible affection, Uddhava was distraught, and he could not give up the Lord's company. Finally, feeling great pain, he bowed down to the Lord again and again, placed the slippers of his master upon his head, and departed. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. When the Lord gave him his shoes by his mercy, Uddhava put... Uddhava put them on his head. Since the Lord's order was insistent, he offered repeated respects and then left. While going to Badri Gashrama, according to the story in the third canto, he returned and saw the Lord alone. He asked about doubtful matters, and, after gaining the conclusive truth concerning the Lord's pastimes from understanding the Lord's answers, as expressed in verse 37, on the order of the Lord, he again left. This should be the understanding. I think before he would mention, but then he came back and then asked all these questions, then he went again. Now this is the second time going. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Excuse me. Thereupon, placing the Lord deeply within his heart, the great devotee Uddhava went to Badri Gashrama. By engaging there in austerities, he attained to the Lord's personal abode, which had been described to him by the only friend of the universe, Lord Krishna himself. Thus Lord Krishna, whose lotus feet are served by all great yoga masters, spoke to his devotee this nectarian knowledge, which comprises the entire ocean of spiritual bliss. Anyone within this universe who receives this narration with great faith is assured of liberation. I offer my obeisances to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original and greatest of all beings, Lord Sri Krishna. He's the author of the Vedas. And just to destroy his devotee's fear of material existence, like a bee, he has collected this nectarian essence of all knowledge and self-realization. Thus, he has awarded to his many devotees this nectar from the ocean of bliss, and by his mercy they have drunk it. And so the point is, it's given by Krishna, it's the instructions by Krishna. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. At the conclusion The author offers respect to the guru of the universe. He has extracted the essence from the Vedas. Quote, but have not other sages and philosophers also extracted the essence from the Vedas? End quote. That is true, but they do not completely understand the purport of the Vedas, which is hard to comprehend. Therefore, one cannot believe their explanations. But the Lord is not like that. He is the creator of the Vedas. He who created the scriptures must know the difficult meaning. He is like a bee, taking the honey from the garden of flowers made of the Vedas. He makes his servants drink it, but he has cheated the demons and non-devotees. An example is given. It is nectar, the essence taken from the ocean. In the form of Mohini, the Lord let the Devatas, his servants, drink the nectar and cheated the demons. I offer my respects to that Lord. Right? So with the demons, then the devotees got the nectar. And to the demons, then Mohini is, you know, smiling and you know, being very feminine and all these kind of things. So they're very inspired. So for the devotees, they get the understanding about Krishna. And the non-devotees, then they just get absorbed in the material energy. So that way they get cheated. They want to be cheated, so. I offer my respects to that Lord. Conclusion. A person who gives up all fruit of activities and offers himself entirely unto Krishna, eagerly desiring to render service unto him, achieves liberation from birth and death and is promoted to the status of sharing his own opulences. One should execute all duties for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, keeping one's mind absorbed in him. For him who constantly meditates upon Krishna's presence within all persons, the bad tendencies of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness, along with false ego, are very quickly destroyed. Because the Lord himself has established this eternal process of devotional service, it can never be defeated. Through various mundane endeavors, people seek to advance in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Whatever men can accomplish in these multifarious ways, one will very easily find within Krishna. When one offers himself completely to him, with exclusive devotion, the Lord becomes particularly pleased, and thus the devotee achieves immortality, becoming qualified to attain opulence equal to that of the Lord. Right? So the opulence means you're absorbed in Krishna, sharing with him those facilities. And so you see that's what's going on. He lives in Mother Jashoda's house. Right? So then what is theirs is what is there. He goes out with the cowherd boys and they share everything there. He's with the gopis. He goes out with the cows in the field. Right? It's not that he's in one place and the cows are in another place, right? He's sitting in this nice, you know, little place and the cows are outside, right? No. So that's the uniqueness of Krishna's, because it's about the rasa, it's not about the majesty. Majesty is hidden, right? The sweetness makes the majesty hidden. So that's the specialness. No? Kind of?
Totally.
Totally. Okay. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.